Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me also up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease under the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I'll plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. What a wonderful book. Every page, every thought, every idea, every chapter, every verse, every line, every letter inspired by the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the Word of God. We're not looking for Scripture. We have it in the King James Version. And I believe it's God's choice for us today. And may He help us to hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against him. I invite you to open your... By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about tonight in the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. As you're finding your place in the third chapter of the book of Exodus, I would also remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I know that you rejoice with me that it's settled right here on this earth, in this wonderful book that we call the Bible. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 3, from verse 1 down through verse number 6. I shall read these verses after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are grateful for your kindness to us. We are grateful for what our hearts have experienced through the music of your word. And I pray now as the word is preached that the Holy Spirit would use it as a scalpel, as a sharp sword, as a fire, as a hammer. I pray that you'd burn out all the dross of sin. I pray that you'd manifest yourself, lay bare your arm before us tonight, that we may know thy will and thy way and thy word and thy work, and that we may do it to your honor and to your glory. If there be one soul here tonight who has never trusted the Savior, may they come to know him. For those that may need a church home, may they find one here at Worth Baptist Church. Dear God, for all of us Christian people that are here tonight, members of the church and or visitors, would you teach us some things that we need to know, some very vital lessons from this passage of Scripture that would help us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, now watch this, Moses said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is a holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. What a holy and awesome God we serve. Moses was 80 years old when God spoke to him. But to you, dear senior citizens, let me remind you, you're not too old to be used of God. Abraham was 75 years old when he started for the land of promise. Caleb was 85 years old when he asked for a mountain. Daniel was 90 years old when he wrestled with the lions. And here's Moses, 80 years old, and God calls him from a burning bush. As most of you know, in about 3 months, I'll just go ahead and give you the date, August the 12th, I'll be 81 years old. But you know what? I've asked God to restamp my papers. I've asked God to re-sign my contract. I don't see any red light up there to stop. I see a green light that says go and go and continue to go. And by the grace of God, I'll do just that until He calls me home. I told you this morning, I thought He had already called me home a few years ago on that parking lot at the hospital. But when I regained my composure, I found out what it was all about. Can I tell you that it took Moses 40 years to learn that he was a nobody? It took Moses 40 years to learn that God specializes in making somebodies out of nobodies. You see, God has His own divinely perfect timetable. He's never a day early. He's never a day late. He's always on time. Even when He's 4 days late, He's still on time. Oh, what a marvelous, marvelous thing to know who God is and where God is and what God's up to. Here's something for you to think about. And please listen very carefully. God is not ready until we are ready. And we can get ready only when God makes us ready. It took God 80 years to make Moses ready for the greatest undertaking of his life. From leading a few sheep on the backside of a desert to leading 2 or 3 million people out of the bondage of Egypt. What an awesome God that is, that can take a stuttering, stammering, shameful shepherd and make him a leader of a great nation. Isn't that just like God? Only God can do that. I've entitled this message, Lessons from a Burning Bush. There are only three, so listen very carefully. Lesson number one, God appears to us in the midst of ordinary circumstances. You know, I've heard people say, well, if God would just put a sign in the sky, if God would just write something across the sky. I heard about this one country boy who thought he saw GPC. He thought it meant, go preach Christ. Turned out it meant, go plow corn. But God is not putting signs in the sky. God's not going to open the sky and pour fire down from heaven for you. He's not going to open the earth and give you a glimpse of hell. Whatever you need to know about God is right here. In 66 books, 1,189 chapters, over 34,000 verses, more than 700,000 words. All that we need to know about God, who He is, where He is, and what He's up to, and what He wants for your life and mine, is right here in this wonderful book. Don't look for God in the spectacular. Look for God in the ordinary. Moses had a humdrum occupation. Being a shepherd did not carry much clout with it. I can assure you that he would not be written up in Who's Who in Israel or listed in the 10 most influential men in the Mediterranean world. Keeping sheep on the backside of the desert was not a prestigious position. Nothing exciting had probably happened. He'd gone that way day by day, week after week, month after month, year after year, for 40 years. And it seemed nothing was ever going to happen. And all of a sudden, God appears. Look at verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Can I tell you that any old bush will do if God is in it? Can I tell you, my friend, that everything changes when God shows up? For you see, He brings light out of darkness. He brings order out of chaos. He brings life out of death. He brings joy out of sadness. He brings peace out of war. He brings beauty out of ashes. What a wonderful God we serve. Now listen, you must learn this. You must learn to be faithful where you are, regardless of how unimportant, unimpressive, or unheralded the position may seem. Here's some good advice. Use what you have, and God will give you what you need. Be faithful where you are. It was about 1958 that I became a custodian of Worth Baptist Church. They used to call it janitor. You know, scrub the floors, vacuum the floors, clean out the toilets, clean out the nurseries, do everything. And I did that for a long time. And then they promoted me to secretary. Some of you women will remember that old-fashioned mimeograph machine where you had to put the thing on it and you turn it around and ink went everywhere. And the time I got through, it was all over my face and all over my hands and everywhere else. But then you know what? They promoted me to assistant pastor. And in 1962, they called me as their pastor. And you know the rest of the story. What am I saying? Be faithful where you are. Be faithful doing what you're doing. Listen to what Jesus said about it in Matthew 25:21. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many, many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. I want to tell you, I was faithful when I was vacuuming the floors and scrubbing the floors and cleaning out the restrooms. I never looked for a position of being pastor. But you know, God has everything in his own timetable. He does everything according to his own good pleasure, according to his own will. So can I say to you tonight, my friend, if you have a Sunday school class, be faithful to it. If you are driving a bus, be faithful to it. If you're singing in the choir, be faithful to it. Be a faithful soul winner, a faithful steward, a faithful servant, and God will give you, taking you from the position where you are to where you would like to be. Lesson number two. God has to get our attention before he can reveal himself to us. Oh, by the way, if you are faithful, do you know what will happen to you? God will give you a crown. Can I tell you what Jesus said about... Here I go quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. He said in the Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." God has to get our attention, is lesson number two, before he can reveal himself to us. Look again at verse number 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. God appeared to Moses. Now, no doubt Moses had walked that same way many times before in 40 years of being a shepherd on the backside of the desert. He had seen many bushes on fire, set on fire by lightning or by the carelessness of a shepherd or whatever. But you know what? This bush was different. It burned, but it was not consumed. And you know what? That got Moses' attention. Look at verse 3. Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush was not burnt." You know what I believe? If you would take a chemical analysis of that bush, that you would find that it had the same DNA as all the other thousands of bushes in the desert until, you know where I'm going, until God got in it. And that made all the difference because God gave it another DNA. When God get your attention, you know what he'll do? He'll speak to you. Look at verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, "Moses? Moses." Why do you suppose he repeated the name? I think God wanted to know Moses to know that it was the voice of authority that was calling him. I think he wanted to get Moses' attention quickly, right now, so Moses would listen to what God had to say and see who God is. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush. And Moses said, Now watch it. Here am I. God says, here I am. Moses says, here am I. If you look down in verses 14 and 15 of this chapter, you'll learn that God said when Moses asked, whom shall I say has sent me? God said, tell them the great I am, the I am that I am. Not I used to be, not I'm going to be, but I am. God is always in present tense. With God, there's no past, there's no future. Everything happens as though it is happening right now. I am. When God gets your attention, he will not only speak to you, but he will reveal himself to you. Look at verse 6. Moreover, he, that is God, said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Why do you suppose God called all three of those names? When he said, I'm the God of Abraham, he said, I'm the God of all the faithful. When God said, I'm the God of Isaac, he was saying, I'm the God of the promised son. And by the way, you know God had only one son. He was promised by Isaiah the prophet, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Promised son. When he said, I'm the God of Jacob, he's saying, I'm the God of the great nation, Israel. And that was God's chosen representative people. And he chose them that through them, now watch this, he might bless all the nations of earth. That's where you and I come in. You know, I used to wish for a long time that I was a Jew. But then I decided that the Gentiles got as many blessings as the Jews. In Abraham, we are all blessed together. And God is no respecter of persons. Through that nation, Israel, he's called a great through them and their ministry. He's reaching out to all the nations of earth and calling out a people for his own name. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can I tell you that God uses various things to get our attention? The birth of a child, a good fortune, or a bad fortune. The death of a loved one. Unfortunately and sadly enough, sometimes tragedy has to come into our lives before God gets our attention. What about you, my friend? Does God have your attention? Or have you turned a deaf ear to what God is saying? I must tell you, that is a dangerous, deadly, destructive thing. I give you the warning of the wise man in Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Listen, there's no remedy. I told you this morning, there is no reverse gear in God's missile of judgment. Judgment is upon those who turn a deaf ear to a holy God. We best listen to what God has to say. Why don't you be like the psalmist who said in Psalm 85 in verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. That's good for all of us. And you young people, listen to me. God bless the young people. And God bless the leaders of the young people that are giving their time and their energy and their money to train these young people. Parents, don't ever take that for granted. And when they come home a little bit sour and a little bit sore, don't you take up for them unless you know they're right. And then go see the leader. Get it all straight. God bless you, young people. Why don't you be like Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, when God called him. Samuel? Samuel! Well, he thought it was Eli calling him, so he ran off to Eli's bed. No, he wasn't. Wasn't I, Eli said. Second time, third time. Finally, God came a fourth time. He may have to speak to some of you young people four times. But don't turn him down on the third time. Wait until the fourth time. Samuel, Samuel. Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Young people, are you listening to God? Can I warn you, don't listen to the voice of the world. Don't set up some starlet or star to be your hero, or some vile, sinful person on television or in a sports arena or anywhere else. Why don't you pick out a godly man, a godly woman, right here out of this congregation and say, "That's my hero. That's the kind of person I want to be." Model your life, young people, after somebody that's righteous and holy and just and right. And listen to the voice of God. Lesson number 3. In God's presence, we are on holy ground. You know, I feel like I'm standing on holy ground tonight. Don't you feel like you're on holy ground? Listen to verse number 5. He said, "Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." As I walked through the door, I sensed his presence, and I knew that this was the place where love abounds. For this is the temple. Jehovah God abides here. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Look for an angel, my friend. Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him and delivereth them." The prophet Elijah looked for an angel. 3 times he was touched by an angel. Have you ever been touched by an angel? Maybe you didn't know what it was, but you know people, according to the scripture, have entertained angels unawares. Be careful. Be careful. Let us praise Jesus now. We're standing in his presence on the holy ground. In his presence there is joy beyond measure. And at his feet, peace of mind can still be found. We are standing on the holy ground. Now, there are 2 things to reckon with, and I want you to listen very carefully. Don't miss these. Number 1, God is not somebody that you can get chummy with. There's not a buddy-buddy system with God, treating him like your next-door neighbor. God is holy. Look at verse number 6. "And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." I'm going to read you a brief passage of scripture from Isaiah 6. You don't have to turn to it. Just listen very carefully. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face. And with 2 he covered his feet. And with 2 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes," now watch this, "mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." We're standing on the holy ground. My friend, you can't put God in a computer. and go in the chat room with him or put him on Facebook or the Twitter. He's too holy. He's the holy God. Draw not nigh hither, for the ground upon which thou stand is holy ground. Romans 11:33, Paul wrote, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him that it should be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever." So may it be. Second thing you need to reckon with is this. Taking off one's shoes symbolizes cleanliness. Could I tell you that only he who has clean hands, only he who has clean hands and a pure heart can approach a holy God? That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord."